Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup. In today's episode, we have Julie taking us on a topic that I really love because it's what I'm all about as well, about solving common PPC issues. And why do I say I'm all about that? Because that is what a lot of my communities are about, the PPC Live UK Slack group, as well as the PLU Chat WhatsApp group. And yeah, you can find out the links on that by going to ppcliveuk.com and going into the communities tab. Because yeah, we are all about just people, you know, firing their questions, giving answers. So even though I don't do hands-on account management, I might be able to answer some of these questions here because it would be about sourcing and knowing, you know, what common strategy and execution and tactic issues that my community are having. That those are the questions that Julie is going to really get us discussing today. What are our common issues? How do we address them? And common client stakeholder kind of issues that are the main points that we're going to be talking about today. So yeah, I hope you find that useful. Stick around. Hello and a warm welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup, a podcast where I round up the Slack discussion that happens on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. GMT. I'm your host, Anu, and I am recording from my studio here in London, UK, on this lovely winterish kind of day at the beginning of December. We are starting to get chills in parts of the UK that it is snowing already. So in London, UK, I use this platform to share not just expert, but also my ideas and considered best practices about paid media and the direction the digital industry is going in. So if you want to keep up to date with my tips and tricks in the industry and get the latest on the podcast that has been called your go-to if you don't make it to the PPC Chat Live discussion, and even if you do, then like, follow, share, and retweet on That's Right Twitter with my handle The Marketing Anu. And not only am I on Twitter, I'm also on Threads as well, and also on LinkedIn. If you look for The Marketing Anu, you'll find me on there as well, because yeah, Twitter has been a little bit of a shit show, excuse my French there. So we're on Twitter, we're on Threads, we're on Instagram. Find our PPC Chat Roundup group as well on LinkedIn, or if you're on Instagram, check us out at PPCChat_Roundup to get quotes and snippets from previous episodes. So we have Julie taking us on this great topic about talking about our issues and how we deal with, you know, solving some of our PPC issues, whether it's strategic, tactical, and stuff, issues that we get from our clients. Per se, I'd say a lot, about 500 plus, you know, people in my PPC community, PPC Live UK community, use the PLU chat WhatsApp group as a way of solving their PPC issues. So yeah, that is that question answered from me already. Lots of answers from the first question especially, so stay tuned for that one. But there are only three questions today. So yeah, loads of answers, but it's going to be about three main topics: about PPC strategy or execution, how do we address the PPC strategy issues, and how we deal with client or stakeholder issues. But as usual, before we get to the questions, this chat, as Julie always reminds us, is intended for PPC professionals of all levels. If you have something you want to share, please do. We are a friendly and supportive community. Please don't be afraid to participate. But of course, if you just want to go back into the channel, into the PPC chat channel of the PPC chat Slack group, and just read the answers people have shared, that is absolutely great as well. And if you want to actually sit back, multitask a bit, have a sip of coffee as you listen to me give the questions and answers that were shared, welcome to this episode, and thank you for being a continued supporter of me. So yeah, let's get into the questions, shall we? Julie first asks, what are the most common PPC strategy or execution issues you run across these days? And starting us off with some of the questions that I see in the PLU chat, the things that are still coming up are questions around PMax and the issues around it in terms of being able to see keywords, in terms of being able to, you know, the PMax cannibalizing the searches coming through, or the performance coming through, as opposed to, like, let's say if we have brand running at the same time. We also have Google Analytics issues that people are coming up with. So yeah, those are the main things I would say. Performance Max and GA4 issues. Ali Quilty responds to this one saying the platform changing policies or setup options, etc. And yeah, as well, Sarah Stevens as well goes, yeah, even today, client education is critical. I guess it's not a strategy as much as it's keeping the ship pointed in the right direction. Robert Brady goes, stuff like search and display together in the campaign broad match keywords with no negatives in place and incorrect conversion tracking setups. Julie goes, making sure auto-applied anything is not on in accounts. So turning off those auto-applies, those are some issues Julie is getting. Fraser Andrews goes, love this. Yeah, for me, it's two things. Understanding the importance of a good structure, nicely planned out with specific audiences across each touch point. The other is the default curveballs that Google throws. Example, presence, interest, auto-applied recommendations, etc. Kyle Taylor goes, for me, it's when clients hyper-focus on single issue or strategy like quality score or with being adamant about automated bidding. Travis Bearshaw goes, not enough attention paid to Google Ads creative demands. It's lower than, say, Meta, where the need for new creative is endless and relentless, but it's still there. The number of times I inherit a client with no YouTube channel, for example, now run PMAX. Interesting. Jilly goes, where disapprovals have become more of a thing lately too. I've heard about that as well, especially with Microsoft ends. Obviously, this is not just Google we talk about in this chat. We talk about the different platforms, even social media as well, even paid social as well. So yeah, it's interesting to note that several people in our WhatsApp group have mentioned that Microsoft just, you know, there are just several disapprovals that happens when they run Microsoft ads and they're not 100% sure why. Ali here as well says, balancing true performance, quality of leads with both individual campaign budgets and CPA expectations. Julie goes, how about knowing what is actually working? With RSAs, for example, and PMAX, we have so much less insight into what specifically is resonating with potential customers that moves them from seeing to converting. Alihira as well says, I also agree completely on the disapprovals. We've been running into capitalization disapprovals on our brand names. Got those all sorted out just to be hit almost immediately with confusing ad text also for capitalization. So that's a fun loophole from Google, right? Sarah Steeman goes, feeling guilty when cushions are clearly shaken. Interesting. Javier goes, ensuring conversion tracking is set up properly. Dwayne Brown goes, many want the same or more work for less money because they found someone cheap who didn't deliver. Yeah, they anchor the work on that awful price. Absolutely. Kyle Taylor responds to Ali going, the quality versus quantity is something I've gotten into with clients a lot recently. It actually tied into the TCPA issue I was alluding to above. The client had conversions set up incorrectly and they were getting both low quality and not real conversions. Melissa McKee as well is responding, accurate conversion tracking is still a huge issue for us. Issues with importing conversion data from third parties, client policies preventing installation of tracking scripts. Yes, we have more than one client in this situation. Lack of technical know-how, etc. Fraser as well goes, yeah, I can't of course forget the rise of the ever painful close variant or other search terms. So annoying about trying to see what actually converted, how to see actually what ads showed against it. Somebody in our WhatsApp group, yeah, was asking about whether there's any tool that can work around that, and I don't think there is yet. If you know of one, please get in touch with me somehow. Let me know, you know, send me an article if you want to write about how to better see search terms, you know, beyond those other search terms and close variants categories that Google just gives maddeningly. Melissa as well says, other issues include trying to apply B2C benchmarks to B2B campaigns, trying to go too broad or too narrow in keyword scope, terrible landing pages, all this not to mention Google's cushion shaking. And Fraser as well again goes, yeah, dare we even open the DOJ can of worms, right? Julie goes, CPCs rising for no discernible reasons, which leads to conclusions of cushions being shaken, absolutely. Dwayne Brown goes, some Twitter people talked about rising CPCs and some mentioned CPCs don't matter. That was an interesting thing to watch from afar. Julie goes, yeah, CPCs sure matter to advertisers with budget constraints. Yeah, they do. And I guess that there's like two thoughts of thinking, two schools of thought with the increasing CPCs. CPCs spiking might not be too much of an issue because I feel people's arguments are focused on the conversions, are the price that you're paying for conversions. Is that really within what your target is? Is it within, you know, are the customers, the clicks coming through? Is that a quality lead? You know, people are willing to pay a lot for a good quality lead. And even if there's a spike, a one-off spike every now and then, it's not really too much of an issue. But if the costs are just, CPCs are just continuously increasing, yes, that's an issue. And as Julie says, if there is budget constraints, yes, CPC spiking, it will be an issue because that could just take up, you know, budget targeting. You know, your targets that you have in terms of budget for a month just gets very skewed and you're using up your budget, your monthly budget in week two or week three because of CPC spiking, and that is not ideal at all. Fraser Andrews as well says brand safety concerns are also an increasing issue specifically around the Adalytics report / the growing relationship with X, right? Travis goes, yeah, Dwayne and Julie, that's a riveting debate, possibly future chat theme, that and CPM, and that's about the CPCs and whether they matter or not. So yeah, that is a very interesting point of view, and I imagine there'll be quite a bit of a debate and not just one way of thinking about it. Fraser goes, God, we really don't have a lot to worry about, do we? Peter Bowen goes, I've recently taken on a small budget B2B client, something I've not done for a while, and it's much, much harder than A, bigger budgets, and B, smaller budgets were a few years ago. Poor matching of search terms with keywords is the biggest issue, and that's only with the search terms that are actually visible. Kyle Taylor goes, yeah, small budget B2B is definitely tough. The last account I audited was only spending $15,000, so $15,000 across Google. Yeah, even $15,000 is an only amount. They were doing that across Google and Bing and allocated nothing to paid social channels. They had automated bidding with no bid limits, just absolutely blowing through budget with poor search terms. And Julie responds to Peter Bowen saying smaller budgets are definitely more of a challenge lately than they used to be. Volume is a big one, especially B2B, because the machine learning can't get rolling without enough conversion happening in 30-day period. Peter Bowen goes, yeah, what makes this a little more exciting is that I'm actually spending my own money on this project. I've partnered with the business. Ooh, very interesting investment thought there. Lauren Lely responds saying audience targeting has become more complex with increased privacy restrictions and the phase out of third-party cookies. Also, ad fatigue is a significant concern. Kyle goes, yeah, at what point in terms of time and frequency would you begin to get concerned about ad fatigue? Lauren Lely responds saying it varies. Generally, I start evaluating potential ad fatigue when I see a dip in engagement rates or an increase in cost per acquisition, which could be as early as a few weeks into the campaign for high frequency ads. Chaz, one specific execution issue I have is the Google Ad Preview tool seems to be useless nowadays. When I use it now, I rarely get any ad at all to appear in the results. Travis Beershall responds saying, yeah, in my experience, arriving at an impressions number is most often arbitrary. It should be a regression analysis between CPA and frequency with statistical significance, of course. And yeah, Julie goes, others have been talking about this lately too. I wonder if it isn't due to Google trying to be so personalized in the ads they show that they broke their own tool. And Kyle as well goes, I don't like to look at it from an impression standpoint. And this is, yeah, in response to Travis specifically. So in saying, in my experience, arriving at an impressions number is most often arbitrary. So yeah. Kyle doesn't like looking at it from an impression standpoint either because the frequency is all relative to the audience size and budget. He continues, I usually don't tie ad fatigue together with any drop in CPA for at least the first few weeks while the frequency is low. But if my ads have been in market for around 30 days and I start to see a drop in CTR, engagement rate, conversion rate while the frequency increases, then I'll take a closer look. Kyle then goes, I've had clients get concerned with ad fatigue after an ad had been in market for a week with a frequency of like 1.3 for the audience. We had to tell them to cool their expectations big time. Travis goes, I would encourage that same analysis between CTR, engagement rate, and CPA. So many studies out there indicating little to no correlation between the two. Kyle goes, yeah, something with engagement metrics and CPA and CVR is that Meta and LinkedIn each use the conversion time-based attribution, unlike Google, which uses the click time-based attribution. I've had ads pause that later on get a conversion click or view because the conversion happened a week or two later. So it's all about lag time. So even if you pause a campaign, you might see the conversion come in later. I have seen that several times with previous clients as well. And Julie goes, yeah, attribution is its own seriously hot mess. And Kyle goes, yeah, the time lag between conversions, especially with paid social channels, where you can get influence without a click, is difficult to analyze because there are no metrics on it in platform. And yeah, I'll leave the conversation there because this is supposed to be a roundup and not me reading every single thing. But we've gotten the main gist of that. And yeah, that's the most important part of the conversation of that we've done already. And then yeah, Julie takes us on to question two now. And Julie asks, how do you address PPC strategy or execution, the issues or executing the issues you find? So how do you address PPC strategy and execution, the issues you find? And yeah, so Fraser starts off with saying audit. Doing a good in-depth audit can be worth its weight in gold and help to understand priorities, if budget or resource allows, this should be carried out by people and not directly associated with the account. Julie goes, very first thing I do is make sure auto-applied or auto-generated, anything is toggled off. And she continues, triple checking conversion tracking is also a high priority. Robert Brady goes, yeah, the amount of times I have to spend going through search terms and adding negatives is astonishing because of Google's matching right now, and I'm using Adalysis, so it could be much worse. Fraser goes, I feel your pain, Robert. It's become a job in and of itself. Julie goes, preach, Robert. The loose matching is maddening. The matching of competitors to both brand and non-brand terms is driving me nuts. Make sure you have a list of competitors with typos to add to negatives. Travis goes, in my specific example, missing a YouTube channel, expecting PMax to function. I offer to create one, but draw the line and managing it. I express how it's been an overlooked aspect of their marketing mix, and now is the time to give it due attention. Fraser goes, I can't remember who shared it on X, where the Google rep was testing the water about opinions on merging keywords into PMax, but I can't help but feel the end of the keyword is fast coming. It's coming for sure. Dwayne Brown goes, talk with clients about the issue and see how we can solve it as a business. We spend almost as much time these days on CRO as we do on PPC. Just running the ad accounts is so 2015. Julie goes, I have been saying since PMax debuted that it is a matter of when, not if, it becomes the only campaign type. Peter Bowen goes, yeah, I agree with you. And that's agreeing with Fraser Andrews in terms of, I can't remember who shared it on X. The Google rep was testing the water about opinions on merging keywords into PMax, but I can't help but feel that the end of keywords is fast coming. Yeah, so agreeing with the death of keywords. Peter goes, yeah, I agree with you. I see the progression as keywords with match types push to broad match hard and then themes. Julie Friedman goes, or Julie herself goes, I don't know why I said her middle name there. Anyway, Julie goes, Google is already priming us for the end of specific keywords with the keyword themes in PMax. Fraser goes, I feel like we're already at the death of match types, so surely can't be too much longer now. Julie goes, I think as soon as they are confident that PMax isn't going to run afoul of privacy regulations, they will move hard in that direction of it being the only campaign type. Melissa goes, we address strategy issues with the client. Audits will catch most issues in the accounts themselves. Ali goes, I think the timeline on the end of keywords has to be pretty short, which is terrifying. Between PMax and demand gen or all-encompassing campaign types. Julie goes, having keyword-based search provides cover on the privacy front. Melissa goes, yeah, agreed that non-PMax campaign days are probably numbered, which is really bad for our clients. Fraser goes, it just baffles me that with all the DOJ stuff going on and question marks around Google's ethics, this can be sold as good for advertisers. The simulated auction pressure info raised in the trial filled me with the biggest concern. And then we have Ali going in response to question two saying, as far as addressing issues, we always say if something looks weird, it probably is. Very technical, right? There's almost always a reason, just a matter of finding it through an audit, comparing to the setup of a similar campaign, looking back at changes, etc. Extra fresh eyes always help too. And then we have Lauren Lely responding to question two, saying that, yeah, for audience targeting, I prioritize building robust first-party data strategies, fostering direct customer relationships, and exploring platform-specific targeting options that comply with new privacy standards. To combat ad fatigue, I ensure a schedule of regular creative refreshes and A/B testing to identify high-performing variants. It's about striking a balance between consistency in messaging and the novelty to catch the audience's attentions. And when she said variants there, so yeah, high-performing variants, I thought of Loki and the TVA. Have you guys watched Loki on Disney Plus? It's such a fun show. I highly recommend it. Anyway, before I get down that rabbit hole, let us go on to question three, which is going to be our last questions and set of answers for this chat. So yeah, Julie asks, what are the most common client or stakeholder issues you run across these days? How do you address or deal with client or stakeholder issues you encounter? So Julie goes, yeah, so much has changed in the PPC world in the last few years, and definitely in the last year, that clients' ideas about how things work are outdated. So I spend a lot of time these days explaining how things work now, limitations we are encountering, etc., and my thoughts on how we can best reach their market and get them to convert. Peter Bowen goes, outdated ideas that they've picked up from other people my cousins told me at Thanksgiving. And yeah, Peter continues, you type faster than me, but I agree with you 100%. Fraser goes, yeah, brand safety is genuinely a growing one for me. Yeah, PMax remains a black box, which rather than being prioritized from a fixed standpoint is put on the back burner whilst Google rolls out new products. Until Google tidies up advertisers in its network and partner networks, brand safety and effectively managing where ads can and can't be seen remains an issue. Melissa goes, yeah, as Julie said, educating clients in outdated tactics and ideas, convincing them that PPC can only do so much and a good website or landing pages are critical. Melissa goes, I wouldn't have thought landing pages would still be a problem as we head into 2024, but here we are. Yeah, Julie goes, brand safety is huge. In response to Fraser Andrews, Robert Brady goes, yeah, helping clients understand that PPC doesn't provide instant gratification. You have to give it time and clean data to make it work. Travis goes, yeah, honestly, it's the lack of desire to learn new things. As pessimistic as that sounds, being stuck in legacy thinking, fear-based decision-making, and falling back on the excuse of I don't have time to learn that are all huge leadership risks. This is usually a red flag for me if I see this as persistent or unchanging candidate for parting ways. I'm always happy to educate, point to third-party opinions or resources, and dive into deep data. But the want to has to be there. Peter Bering goes, yeah, I'm fighting the same battle about websites I've fought twice before with one client. He's having a refresh from yet another website agency, and they're trying to break my landing pages by adding carousels, massive images, etc. Ah, Lord. Ali as well says, yeah, your point that PPC can only do so much is a big one in my opinion or experience. PPC accounts for a large percentage of our clients' leads, so we spend a lot of time educating and reminding that there are other important pieces to the mix which will ultimately also benefit PPC. And this is what I'm talking about, you know, looking at different channels, whether it's PPC and SEO working together, PPC and social working together, outdoor and PPC working together, TV ads and PPC working together, as much as PPC, you know, there needs to be a lot of hard work done in PPC, doing the hard work in the other channels will then make PPC work better. So having this whole, like, you know, what I'd call tunnel view vision of what PPC can do and how it's all on PPC is very, very dangerous. Julie responds saying, and landing pages are only going to become more important, in response to Melissa's talk about landing pages and CRO. Yes, as well, another channel that should work closely with helping PPC doing better CRO. So yeah, between the before the click side of the equation, flattering due to automation and flattening due to automation and the platforms wanting to use LPs to auto-generate assets and or validate their ideas about what your ads should trigger for, that piece matters so much. Julie goes, yeah, in response to Robert Brady, yeah, saying it is definitely a huge shift away from the historical selling point of PPC being get it running and get actionable data right away, because it just does not work like that today. No, it doesn't. I'm not even sure it ever worked like that before, unless you're just looking for traffic, unless you're only looking for more clicks. Yeah, you'll be able to get more clicks to your site quickly, depending on the kind of keyword. But in terms of performance, in terms of the revenue and the lead quality, that always takes time. Melissa McKee as well says, so many good points here. The time it takes for campaigns to learn is new, and clients have a hard time grasping the concept. We even have clients who like to go in and make changes to campaigns within 1 to 2 days. Oh my God. Yeah, anyway, Julie responds, I think another thing we are dealing with is the clash of the legacy of everything on the web is cheap and easy and fast. And the fact that ad platforms are mature ecosystems now, digital advertisers is on par with traditional cable TV advertising in a lot more ways than it is dissimilar today. Fraser goes, in terms of addressing issues, genuinely staying involved in communities like this is so important to ensure you can fight the good fight against Google and stay on top of changes from an advertiser's perspective. And also even helping the newer generation of paid search advertisers and helping them to talk to their clients as to the fact that PPC takes some time, the fact that match type is not what it used to be anymore, it's like can be a bit confusing. Don't take Google at its word with every single update. Literally, that's why it's really important to stay on top of things and getting involved with clients and getting involved in communities like this. River Minkoff goes, platforms want us providers to trust the AI, but that's not something you can just say to a stakeholder when they have questions. Absolutely. And Julie goes, yeah, especially when we used to be able to answer nearly all questions and now we just can't sometimes. Melissa goes, I hate how that is now with not being able to answer questions like we used to. So yeah, we can't answer the questions like we used to because things are just changing so quickly. What we know all of a sudden changes because of Google updates. It used to be much easier to dig into the why of performance shifts than it is now. Yeah, because of AI and because of the whole thinking of data privacy that Google gives us as answers. Julie goes, agreed, Melissa. And for clients who have been doing digital advertising for a while, it can erode their confidence in us as providers when we can no longer answer questions either at all or definitively like we used to. Dwayne Brown says, some random things they heard on Twitter and they wanted to talk about, even though they never took our advice as a client, just talking about one client here, but we all have been there. So yeah, that's in response to, you know, what are the most common of client or stakeholders issues. Yeah, and Julie goes, and we are just getting started with the AI train and all the headaches that will bring. And on that very ominous note, that kind of brings us to the end of this chat today. Wow, even though there were only three questions, that was a very riveting chat. That was a very interesting conversation about how we deal with the issues that we're having today. And this is one of those chats that I feel like it really gives you the confidence that you're not alone about your issues, about not feeling like you know what you used to know before. We've all been there. We're all feeling it with you. I hope you found some of the issues that we're having recognizable to you, so that you know that, you know, don't let your imposter syndrome drive you up the wall in thinking that, you know, you don't know things that everybody else knows. There's a lot of us struggling as well with even though that we've been doing this for many years, there's a lot of us struggling with What do we know? What is right? What is correct? What's the best way to do things? That is changing so regularly. We're all feel like we're spinning a little bit. We all need a holiday. Thank God for Christmas. We all need a holiday from all these issues right now. So yeah, and I think this is the time for me to say that if you do want to discuss some of these issues, some we are really getting some really great questions and answer engagements in our PLU chat WhatsApp group. So join us there. Go to bit.ly/PLU WhatsApp. So that's bit.ly/PLU WhatsApp, and you'll be able to get that. Yeah, you'll be able to make a request to join our WhatsApp group so that you can have the questions and the issues that you're having answered. A lot of the times we are getting answers to these issues that we share. So please join us there if you'd like. So on that note, yeah, that brings us to the end of the chat. I hope you've taken some great takeaways. I hope you joined one of the communities that we're talking about, whether it's on Slack or on WhatsApp. If you want to join and have an audio version of this chat, join us on Thursday on the Discord. You might have seen it already, gotten the link to it. Go to Julie's Twitter profile, which is at Neptune Moon, and she'll be able to provide you with the Discord link to join. For any feedback about the podcast or maybe even some corrections on anything that has been shared, please get in touch with me on Twitter. My DMs are open or on Threads. I am on that more often than Twitter, on the handle at The Marketing Anu, or find me on LinkedIn as well. Yeah, we have the PPC chat roundup group on there and on Instagram as well. You know, check that out for clips and snippets from past episodes. It'd be great for long-standing and brand new listeners to join us to talk about, even if to indicate that there's a growth strategy here, to help with a growth strategy, to help with the fact that to show other people that it's a podcast worth listening. Go to linktree.com/PPC chat_roundup to get the links on how to do a rating. And yeah, again, PPC Live UK is going to be back on February the 1st. No more events for the rest of the year, but please get your tickets in before the early bird tickets sales ends. But literally, you'll have maybe a couple of days in the new year to get that early bird sale ticket in. So yeah, it's only £17 at the moment. So please go on there to get your ticket. We've got three amazing talks, one from Holly Kelly or from Annika, who's going to be talking about the importance of PPC and SEO. I love that topic. Amy Stamper is going to be helping us make sure we know how to measure paid media, whether it's paid social or paid search, doing branding and stuff in a post-cookies world. And we're also going to have Byron Tassoni Resch, who's going to be talking about creating and using demand and supply models in paid search. And he is the co-founder of a multi-award winning agency, We Discover. They've been coming to the events from the beginning. They're great supporters. They know their stuff. And yeah, the founder, if one of the founders is going to be talking, you know that's something to pay attention to. So yeah, if you just go to ppcliveuk.com, you will get the buy tickets button right there at the top. First thing you will see for you to get your early bird tickets. So yeah, go do that right now. Please do. Thank you. Finally, remember, for your campaigns and businesses to glide smoothly, there's a lot of hard work needed beneath the surface. So keep your swans kicking. Bye, and speak to you next week.